Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on yet another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am excited to be here with you. It's Monday, a new day, a new start of the week, and I'm always excited here on Monday when I have one of my very special guests that's here with us often. But before I go ahead and introduce the show, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go ahead and be the best version of yourself. That's right. Be the best version of yourself and help others as well. That's right. Share the show. There's someone somewhere who needs to hear this message, who needs to learn. So while you're grabbing your notebook, grabbing your recorder, or whatever it is that you have to do to attend this show, also share it with someone else. Share this feed, share this message, share this link. We're live at facebook.com/theroundtabletalkshow. So share it with a friend, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and introduce a good friend of mine. We haven't seen her in a couple of weeks. She's been busy doing what they call living life, but she is here with us today. So let me go ahead and introduce Ms. Allison Allman, the organization maven. She helps families, organizations all across Orange County organize their lives and their homes. Good morning, Allison. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. It's Monday. I'm so excited for the week.
I'm excited to have you here. I missed you.
I know. Things worked out where before, during the show, I could be home and Zoom because my child was home Zooming as well. And then she went back to live in-person school, and she has to catch the school bus at 7:30. And by the time I get back home, it's 8:15, and then I don't want to be late to the show. So out of respect of the other people on the show, I just said, you know what, the mornings I have to take her to school, I'll let someone else come in.
Well, thank you. We cleared up a couple of seats. We were able to use those seats, so I can't be mad. But let's talk about what you do, who you are, and what you have going on recently.
So I'm the organization maven. I organize people's homes. I organize their garage. I organize their home office. I organize every aspect of their home that they're dissatisfied with. A lot of people are home more now than normal, and they don't have any kind of rhyme or reason on how they organize their house. Every drawer or cabinet just has randomness, so they can't find anything. And then with the age of Amazon and other apps that deliver items to your home, they just rebuy. And then they find random things and they get mostly just frustrated. So I come in, I see what's going on. I come up with an action plan, and then I schedule them into my calendar. And in a very short amount of time, I'm able to organize the space that I'm doing and put a system into, sort of speak. I wouldn't say it's a system. I know that there is a new show right now that's all about a system. To me, my system is very simple. I just put things away where they belong. The most logical item to put something, I put it. I don't put random things in the freezer. You know, office supplies go next to the desk that you do your office. You know, it seems like such a simple process, but most people are so overwhelmed and they're doing so many things on their plate that the simplest tasks have escaped them. Later they're like, oh, that makes total sense to put office supplies with my home office desk. Before, I had them in the kitchen and I couldn't find anything. So, and in the process of putting everything away, I do utilize some bins, but I'm not a bin shopper or put things in bins kind of organizer. I want people to use the space they already have. So if they already have a bookcase or multiple bookcases in their house, but then they have piles of books everywhere, I go through and I have them pick the most important books in their life. And then those go on the bookcases, and anything else that's not important or they haven't read or they have no interest in, then we donate that. And we don't buy more bookcases to hold the books. I rather them, whatever they have in their house, they cherish, they enjoy, it brings them joy. They shouldn't have anything in their home that they don't want. You know, they keep something because their mother-in-law gave it, or they keep something because their mom died, but they don't really like the item, but they feel like they should hold on to it to make that person happy. So I kind of talk about how I'm releasing them of the slavery of holding on to too much stuff. And we kind of just go back to the basics. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. And then as a recap, as what has happened in the past couple of weeks is I'm on a TV show called Destination LA, and it features the best companies and food eating places and different, the best of Los Angeles and Orange County. And so it aired 2 weeks ago on KCAL 9, and this past weekend on CBS LA. Destination TV is the network on Instagram and Facebook. And so they've been showing the clip, the show. I'm on episode 3. You can also go on to Amazon Prime and type in the show Destination LA. And I'm on episode 3, and it's 99 cents. And I have a segment where I talk about my business, and I talk about how I've been naturally tidy my whole life. And they actually show shots of my studio apartment and how I organized it. And just, I've been busy answering phone calls and responding to emails, and it brings so much excitement to my tender heart when someone says, "Hey, I just saw you on TV. Can you come organize my house too?" And I go, "Yes, I can. Let's schedule you for December. Let's schedule you. Let's get you taken care of." My heart is tender. The conversations I'm having where people are overwhelmed and they found me, and I come in and save the day, so to speak. When I bring all their, like I said, I release them from their clutter. I put their house back to order. They can continue doing their lives, and they're not bogged down with this clutter.
I think that's wonderful. Congratulations. I am so proud of you. I know that this is just the beginning, and it's a really great feeling for somebody to recognize you from something they saw on television at the height of when I was getting that the most. It surprised me because I meet people and they say, you're Sharifa Hardy. And I'm like, okay. And I saw your show and I saw it. I'm like, oh, okay. Thank you. But it's a surprise. But it's a great feeling. I'm proud of you, Allison. I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And our next guest is Mr. Shaddy. He graduated from the State University of New York at Binghamton, where he received his Bachelor's of Science degree in biology. He then attended Cornell University, where he received his Doctor of Veterinary Medicine degree in 2006. Good morning, Shadi. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on.
You are so welcome. The people who know me know that I'm horrible with names. Once I get past the introductions, I sound so much more intelligent, but I didn't want to butcher your last name. So I'm like, this is going to be Shaddy today.
That is fine by me. Believe it or not, I hear this a lot.
Well, thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm Dr. Shaddy Arafage. Grew up in New York, and I've been a veterinarian for 15 years. I'm also a board certified veterinary surgeon, so I perform all types of orthopedic, soft tissue, and neurologic surgery. My latest endeavor, which fortuitously occurred at the same time the pandemic began, is I launched a 24/7 veterinary telemedicine company called Vet Triage. And for anybody who's interested who has pets at home, it's V as in Victor, ETTRIAGE.com. And it's the one and only type of telemedicine of its kind. So because it's veterinary owned, which a lot of current telemedicine companies are not, I understand the culture of the profession. I know what pet owners want. I know what veterinary hospitals need. I know what veterinarians want. So I launched this at the beginning of the pandemic. I had a preliminary version of it for prior to that, but it had been kind of in the works for 2 or 3 years. And it's a 24/7 real-time two-way video telemedicine service. We have clients all around the world that utilize us. It's been about 9 months since official launch. And every month we're getting busier and busier. I've seen everything from dogs and cats, to squirrels, to goldfish, to horses, pigs, you name it, I've seen it on the telemedicine service. It is also one that is really apt to these times because telemedicine is a hot topic now. And even though it's been around for a long time, people are more aware of it now. So what's also interesting is to know is that the majority of folks out there that use veterinary telemedicine don't know beforehand all the limitations we have. So I've got two goals really to my company. One, of course, is to allow pets all around the world, pet owners all around the world have access to veterinary care from their homes. The second goal is to spearhead a telemedicine movement. Outside of COVID, we can't prescribe medications. The same way that your human doctor would, we are not allowed to. We also aren't allowed to have a relationship beyond the in-person relationship with veterinary telemedicine. There are lots of regulations that are antiquated. And so my second goal with Vet Triage is to spearhead a movement. So we're hoping to do this with the company. It's been successful so far. We're still ramping up. It's an exciting ride. And I can't wait to see what the future holds. And we've learned over time that there's multiple uses for veterinary telemedicine, not just a standard, oh, my dog is vomiting 3 a.m, what do I do? There are all different reasons why people will utilize our service, everything from the direct consumer all the way to veterinary hospitals using us as an after-hours answering service. In case you have an emergency and your family veterinarian is closed, you have a trusted source you can go to where the veterinarian can see you eye to eye, see your pet, ask you questions, ask you to manipulate your pet, do certain things with them, and then give you some helpful advice. Should you go into an emergency clinic, or can this wait for your veterinarian to open? We work with rescue organizations as well. They'll use us and save them thousands of dollars with unnecessary emergency fees. It's an exciting time. It really is. And I thank you for allowing me to speak about this on your platform. It's absolutely fantastic.
You are so welcome. You sound excited. But I'm going to tell you right now, you lost me. Everything you said after the squirrel, I was kind of listening, but I'm like, I got to hear this story about this squirrel because I'm not a pet person. The people who know me know that I don't have pets and I don't have plants. My kids, they 23 and 26 now, but they are alive simply because they can speak. They're like, Mom, you haven't fixed dinner. I'm like, you know what? I gotta feed these kids. Pets, they might bark or whatever, but I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with the dog. Poor dog hasn't eaten in 2 days. But if I was walking down the street and something happened with a squirrel, there's nothing in me, and maybe it's just me, you know, because I'm a special child, but I would go, look, there's a squirrel that's hurt. Let me call Dr. Shaddy. It's not me. So I want to hear about this squirrel. Like, what happened with this squirrel?
She found a baby squirrel in her yard and didn't know what to do, and she took it in. And she just started bottle feeding it. And next thing, fast forward a couple of years, now she has maybe a 3-year-old squirrel that lives in the top shelf of one of her closets. You can literally see it above the coat hangers. And this thing is adorable. It's out of a cartoon and has so much personality. So on the video session, I'm asking her questions about the squirrel. The squirrel seems to be having kind of an off day. It was just kind of lethargic, maybe not eating as well. And so I'm looking at it, as I'm looking at it, it's running back and forth on the top of the closet shelf. Unbelievable. And it's a healthy looking squirrel. It's a little chubby. Its tail is up, its tail is bushy. And I kind of gave her some general advice as far as how to entice the squirrel to eat using knowledge that I have from other small mammals, because how many vets out there treat squirrels? And
because I'm like, how do you even know how to treat this squirrel? Like, was that in your training day one? Like, this is a squirrel, treat it. And then you have, I almost laughed because you said the squirrel was having an off day. I'm like, how do you even know a squirrel? Ooh, you are too funny. I'm so sorry.
What's really admirable about veterinarians in general, about my profession, is that we're very good at taking the foundational stuff that we know and then applying it to a new situation. We're really hardy like that. We're resilient. And not to speak badly of our MDs out there, but their patients can speak. And so they have sort of a way of thinking. We have all different species, all different caretakers all around the world. And yeah, you're not trained in vet school how to manage a squirrel. There are sporadic cases where maybe you get lucky enough to see a squirrel somewhere during your training, but really the majority of us aren't going to do that. So basically what we do is we apply what we already know about a similar mammal, let's say a ferret, and apply that to the new small mammal, the squirrel, and see if that works out. As time goes on and more pet owners, I just maybe even animal owners, are becoming more inquisitive with these new exotic species, we're seeing publications, medical literature come out with this. And so fast forward 20 years from now, who knows? There may be a whole line of work for veterinarians that focuses just on wildlife, small mammals. There already is, but maybe we'll see one that's more domesticated, where these animals are more than just wildlife, they're actually domesticated pets. We'll see. But we tend to be very hardy like that. And I'm proud of the profession for being able to adapt to those circumstances.
I am proud as well, because the last thing you want to do is call and they're like, you know what? I have no idea what to do. I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Liam Anderson. Liam is a full service design firm based in New York City, catering to a wide array of clients' needs in New York, New Jersey, and PA. So it's Liam Anderson Interiors. Liam is our principal designer, He is really passionate about creating spaces that incite feelings in the users of the space. Good morning, Liam. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Doing great. And first off, thank you for, just to build up on what Shadi said, providing a platform for an open discussion. I asked you prior to the show if I can record this just for my own personal vanity so that I can look at myself back in the mirror when we're done. And you said,
I want to send you the link, Liam. I got you.
I did not. If I had asked, that would have been a very effective question. If I had asked you the effective question of, Sharifa, is there a way for us to look at this when we're done? And you had said, yes, I wouldn't have had to go through the effort of recording it. It wasn't as big of an effort for me, obviously, as it is for you to send me that link. I just had to hit the record button, which Zoom gracefully provided. But it was still a task that I did not need to do. And if I had asked the effective question at that point, I would have saved myself the hassle. And
no,
I think
not at all, because I like people like yourself. Believe me, you are not the only one or the rare one that records the show. People like to have security blankets. I come from the hosting server industry, and our whole thing was redundancy, 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 redundancy. You know what I mean? Facebook could have crashed. My recording could have crashed. And then we would say, you know what? Liam got the show. See, that's how it works out.
Absolutely. So in that case, Liam asking that effective question or not asking that effective question and still taking that step didn't really waste his effort. He just served as an extra layer of security. So I think it all comes down to security. Like you're saying, Facebook could have crashed. Hopefully it won't, because we would all be in trouble. I myself would get antsy and jonesing if I can't touch my phone and be like, hey, I see Facebook now. It's that sense of security that, hey, I can go on Facebook and see what the people that I care about are up to. And that would provide me a sense of security. So I'm glad I'm recording it. And I'm glad that you're also recording it, because now I know for fact that I will still be able to look at myself back and laugh.
Liam, you are interesting. You have to come back on the show. Come back on the show. Because I have never in my life had somebody spend 3 minutes discussing recording and not getting to interior design, Liam. But if you want to talk security, I give you another 10
minutes.
Honestly,
talking interior design, I think the organization Maven is more equipped to talk about that than me. Because
Not at all. You do different things. She organizes. You design. Two different things. That's why we come together, but we can help each other. You never know. Maybe she can give you some organization tips. Maybe you can give her some interior design tips. That's why we're here together, to have this conversation. If any of us knew it all, we wouldn't need to be here.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, I could not agree more with that. It all comes down to helping each other. When we were speaking prior to the show starting, and I know, again, I said, I felt that I could not record the pre-show because a lot of people have specific segments just for pre-show recording. So I felt that I would be taking something that is not mine, but you gracefully accepted me recording it. And it's something that I appreciated, because it did show me that, yes, we're here to help each other. We're here to talk. It's not about the semantics of how we're going to talk. It's about, hey, we're here to talk. Do whatever you need to. You said, grab your coffee. I know that the organization Maven has cookies with her, so everybody's comfortable and hopefully everybody's talking. And honestly, the story that you had shared about how you started the show, or not how, you didn't share the story with how, because that would take a lot more than the 15 minutes we had. You shared the story of why. And I apologize. At any point, if I wasn't looking directly at whomever was speaking, I was taking scribbles and notes. That's just how I need to make sense of life. But what I wrote here, sorry, let me find it. Right. So you said, it's all about self-promotion, and self-promotion is taking control. And you said you decided to take control of your own career when you made an unsuccessful run for city council. Is that correct?
Liam, I like you. You're one of the most interesting.
Oh, thank you. I like you. I mean, like I said, like I just listened to you for like 2 minutes and you shared an amazing story. You said that you started this.
I launched the roundtable talk show after my run from city council. I said they wouldn't give me city council, so I launched the roundtable talk show because I was going to have a platform to have a voice to discuss current events and what is going on in the world. But Liam, I like that picture behind you. It's cool.
Thank you. We sell fine art. If anybody wants fine art, go to liamandersoninteriors.com and get in touch with us. We'll set you guys up. But
tell me
just
more.
Before we move on from that point, I appreciate you taking command of the situation and
trying to moderate
the conversation. But the one thing that really did stand out to me, like about your story, is you said, like you were talking to us, hey, if you decide to come back to the show, you're more than welcome to, because like Shadi said, it's a platform and we're here to talk. But know and plan in advance that it's booked until January. So you said it, that was not me. You said, so you can't just say, hey, I want to be on the roundtable show or the roundtable talk show and get in touch with me and I'll be able to fit you in. A lot of people had that thought before you and they got in touch with me and I scheduled them in. So you just have to trust the process. You have to.
Well, I didn't schedule them in because I just want to make sure that the two things are clear. Number one, when we look at solid book dates, we are booked solid through January, but the show itself is booked out until October of 2021. It's just space available until then, but solid when you can't get in is to about January right now.
That is unbelievable. You're so humble. Like, I thought that's it. Like, if I get in touch with you in February again, that they'll be
it. No. You can get in February, but people have already booked through October 2021. But since you obviously want to talk about me and what I do and who I am, let me have some therapy this morning, because people get mad at me for that, Liam. Like, you have no idea how many emails I receive where people contact me and they say, Sharifa, I really wanted to be on your show, but you don't have any space available. I looked in November, I looked in December, I looked in January, and I can't get on. And my question is like, okay, I don't know what you want me to do. Like, I can, would you just kick Allison off? So, you know what I mean? So I could clear up.
Exactly.
How you want me to stop. Can you, maybe you have an answer. Give me an answer, Liam. What am I supposed to do?
So here is the thing. If I were you here, I don't have any answers, because that is a situation that is very specific to you. Only you can come up with the answer to that. But if I were you, I would say, okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I love your resume. I love your portfolio. If it were up to me, I would like to fit you in. And you don't have to lie. You don't have to say, hey, I would like to fit you in tomorrow, because you might like the person who's speaking tomorrow better, or the person who's speaking tomorrow has already made plans and we need to respect those plans. So if it were up to me, I would like to fit you in on that date. But unfortunately, that date is already taken and somebody else made plans and I made a commitment to that person and I need to honor that commitment. So while it is true that you cannot get booked or like be have a spot on the show or be open to or be available to have a spot on the show until January of 2021, it's only to protect your right and your time and the resources that you're going to invest in preparing for that interview and that meeting. So like when we got to talk before the show, and I'm really glad that we were able to have that conversation, because it definitely set the tone for the rest of the show. It's a platform. It's a place for people to come and talk. And one thing I love about the show and you as a person is that you said, I'm not going to dictate the conversation. You can talk about anything you want. So the fact that it's not a moderated it is moderated, i.e. you, the fact that it's not dictated beforehand, here, this is what we're going to talk about, makes it, like Shadi said, a platform. And Shadi has like the best meaning behind his name, by the way. Like, I had no idea. Like, if I didn't study in Egypt for a bit and I knew some Arabic, I wouldn't have been able to get an educated guess as to what his name means. And I did, and I was right, and it felt so good. I was like, oh, I remembered something. Like, I trusted
you've been right
my
a lot.
And it worked.
You've been right a lot, Liam. Chatty, Dr. Chatty, let's discuss that.
Thank you. So yeah, so my father is from Jordan, my mom's from Lebanon. I was born in Yonkers, New York, and so first generation. And my name means singing in Arabic. But
so cool.
Back when the internet first came out, of course, what do? I do, oh, let me see what my name, you know, shiny.com means. So right. I go to shiny.com and up comes a Hindu marriage site, a wedding site, like I think arranged marriages. And I think it's still up to this day. I mean, this is back in like, what, early 90s when the internet first
started. I'm Googling now. I need to
see that. Gosh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, and I said, wow, you know? And so I found out from there, my name in Hindu means wedding or marriage. So both, hopefully, happy meanings.
that's an amazing meaning. And honestly, that shows like a beautiful...
Thank you.
A beautiful marketing message that the person that came up with shaddy.com had. So Sharifa was saying before the show, hey, this show is all about shameless self-promotion. Sure. So shameless self-promotion means honest promotion, because if you're honest, you have no shame. If you're honest, you don't have something to be shameful about. So shameless marketing is what marketing should be. Like, that is the one principle that marketing should be based around. Shameless marketing, i.e. honest marketing.
I love it. You are amazing, Liam. Shoddy.
Oh, thank you. You're
shoddy.com. Thank you. I appreciate that. I went to shoddy.com and it's still there. And it actually says it's exactly. The best.
And it's there for a reason. So they're still able to pay their bills and make a profit because they made an assumption or an educated guess that people are going to be wondering what my name means at some point in your life. I don't know how old were you, Shaddy, when you first started doing that. For me, trying to figure out what my name means, I think I was maybe like 14, 15 around that time.
Yeah, I think that was, well, I think it was early teens.
Exactly. So like early, like you're trying to figure out life, like early teens, you're trying to think, hey, what's going on? And that starts with your name. Because that's
well,
the
it
first
depends.
Thing.
A lot of things are cultural, which is why it's very interesting that we're having this conversation with Shadi, because my name is Sharifa and it's Arabic. And in Arabic,
no
in the culture,
way.
one of the things that they do is when a baby is born, they whisper the baby's name in the baby's ear as the first words that they hear, because babies are supposed to live up to their name. So Sharifa was whispered in my ear by my grandmother, and so that I could live up to my name, which is one of the things that I always try to do. Sharifa means honest or of honor, or in the different towns, because they didn't have therapists or advisors, or maybe they needed the spiritual person to go talk to, they always went to the Sharif, which was the masculine version, or the Sharifa, which is the feminine version. So when you think of like Indians or even in our culture, the Indians, native Indians, they always had that medicine person. That's the same basic thing. The person you can go to learn different things and to speak the truth. Allison, have you ever heard anything like that?
No, but that sounds great. I think, I wish my name was something important.
Do you happen to know the meaning of your name? Just it, like, I'm
not
curious.
Off the top of my head. I do know that it comes as a Hebrew
and that's
name,
fine. Like, I think they have like encyclopedias out there for like baby name meanings or what. I sometimes would just like, okay, just out of curiosity, let's figure out what the name, because here's the thing, like, I think there is definitely something to what you're saying, Sharifa. Like, what you said is very, it makes sense. And just as a side, I honestly cannot speak to how anybody else feels, but if I were in the shoes of your parents, I would be very, very, very proud, because one thing you did is that you lived up to your name. Like, I honestly had no idea what, I didn't make the connection you just explained. Sharifa means honest. And the one thing you came up with, or the one thing that you're currently doing with your career, is that you're providing a shameless marketing platform. In other words, a platform for honesty. Mm-hmm. Just talk honesty and people will hear. That's it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I actually Googled it, Allison. The name Allison means son of the noble one and is of German origin.
What?
Allison is a name
that's amazing.
Parents who are considering unisex or non-gendered baby names, baby names that can be used for any gender. So it just basically means noble. See, so I like that. And you are noble. You are nobility. So maybe we need to call you Dame Allison or something.
I would second
Lady
that.
Allison.
Lady Allison.
Lady Allison. That's a really good marketing name. Lady Allison, like the organization lady. Like that's Lady Allison. I like that.
We did. So back in the 90s, before Ancestry.com was a thing, like right. How it is now, and 23andMe and all those things. So back in the 90s, we actually hired a genealogist to go back in time and research our whole family legacy forth. So they went back to about the 1200s in England on one part of my family. And there was a guy named Allison Almond who lived in the 1400s, and he actually spelled it the same way as my spelling of Allison, but I was 10 years old at that point, so it isn't like we tried to copy him or anything like that. If anything,
right.
Copy me.
Right. I mean, and that's and here is the thing, like the whole idea of a name, in my opinion, is that we're not trying to copy somebody, we're trying to see somebody who was somebody, like someone at some point in time, like take. So that's why you'd find a lot of religious, like sacred names. People are named after saints or after prophets. It's because, like Sharifa was saying, or that definitely could be part of it. Like we don't know the whole puzzle, but that could definitely be part of it. That. Yeah, if I name that person after that religious figure or that saint who's protected or that angel who's pure, that person is going to live up to their name like Sharifa did with having an honest platform.
It happens in life, right? I mean, don't you sometimes get the sense that when you hear someone's name, you meet someone for the first time, they tend to live up to what other Johns are like in your life or other Michelles
exactly.
Are like. I mean, there's similarities there and it doesn't make any sense. It's a name that was arbitrarily picked, but boy, does this seem to have more of a spiritual connection than just a random fact. People do then lift up to their names. It's you see the trends.
Yes, but also when we talk about spiritual names, also when people want to remember someone because they said the names Kobe and Gianna was Kobe's daughter, Kobe Bryant's daughter. Kobe right. was the number one, one of the number one boy names for 2020. And Gianna was number one, one of the number one girls' names for 2020 because people wanted to hold on to the memory and the love for Kobe Bryant and his daughter.
That is so powerful. I mean, to name your child, a name they're going to have forever, with that kind of a background is absolutely powerful. It's moving.
That is very moving. And honestly, Shadi, like it's another, I don't know. I feel this segment of the show became about the conversation, like the 15 minute conversation we had prior to the show. And that's like a show in itself. But it all, like you're saying, it's the trends in seeing, yes, that person lived up to the other Johns. Or that person felt the need that, hey, this is my namesake. That person was a great person. I need to live up to that expectations. And that in itself can be a great drive in trying to figure out how you can help. And Sharifa, like you said, we're all here to help each other. So it's, yeah. How do I say this very politely? I try to veer off very far away from all political conversations, because if it's a political conversation, you're walking in with an affiliation or something you think conforms to the biggest, to the biggest degree with your belief system. And we're always trained to choose the lesser of two evils. So, hey, I'm gonna choose this one person instead of that one person, because I agree with this one person, or that person agrees with me. I don't even agree with everything he's doing, but I agree, or that person agrees with me in the sense that I believe issue A has solution B. That's how I believe this issue should be handled. So that person and also believes that.
I'm gonna call you when I'm just bored, Liam, because I've never in my life.
I'm very lonely. I'm not very lonely. I have a great support system. I have a lot of people that I really care about that I am lucky to talk to.
I'm gonna call you because you did two things that I noticed. Number one, you said, I'm not interested in political conversations. And then you turned around and had a political conversation about politics without mentioning the Democrats. Or I'm good at my job, Liam. I'm good at what I do.
Let's not talk about politics. Politics means that we're going to have to fight. I don't want to fight with anyone.
We're not going to fight. But it's just interesting that you started a conversation that you yourself said you didn't want to discuss. The other thing that I thought was interesting is you have analyzed every aspect of shameless self-promotion. You have defined it. You have given us the meaning, the background, the history. You almost prayed over the definition, but you are the only person on my show who has done absolutely no promotion. Not only shameless self-promotion, but you haven't promoted anything. You mentioned the art, then went right back to what you wanted to discuss.
But here's the thing. Me telling you, hey, we also have fine art and that's how we make some of our money. And if you want it, we will sell it for you. And the whole concept of sales is everybody is trying to get a good deal. That's what we're trained to do because it's a smart thing to do. If you can pay $2 for something, you shouldn't pay $10 for it. So we're always trying to pay the $2, not the $10. But at a lot of times,
you are a philosopher. You are a philosopher.
Oh, no.
You need a philosophy.
No.
I'm just going to be liamsphilosophies.com because what I want to know is I'm in New York City. I'm going to go to New York City. I live in
the Big Apple. That's a great place to be.
I'm going to get there one day. I'm speaking for your audience because I live in Long Beach, California. But what I'm saying is the people.
It's a better place to be.
The people. Yes. It's a lovely to walk to the beach. But hey. You know, I transgress. The whole thing is there are people in PA, there are people in New York, there are people in New Jersey who right now are like, you know what? I need my home designed. I need some new furniture. I need something in here. And I'm counting on Liam Anderson. But Liam Anderson wants to philosophize. This is interesting because I have
So here's what I feel you're trying to do right now. You're trying to put some, you know what? You're not trying to do that. You're unintentionally do it just because of the way we've been taught to speak. You're trying to give me credit for not promoting myself when the whole idea of this show is shameless promotion. And if you're honest with everybody, there is nothing to be shameful about. And in essence, you just have to trust that people are not bad. If you give the honest information to people, they're going to make an educated decision.
That's not it, Liam. That's not it. I'm going to bring it back to you because what I want in the whole goal of shameless self-promotion is that people tune in to the Roundtable Talk Show to learn what people do. So I can tell you right now what Allison Allman does because she's been on the show 50 million times. I can tell you exactly where she does it, how she does it, who she does it for. I can tell you who Allison's target audience is. I can tell you the people who patronize her services. Why? Because Allison has given me that information. She's given me a lot of detail on her ideal client. She's given me a lot of detail on what she does. I know that Dr. Shaddy can help a squirrel. I've learned that because he gave me this whole story on how he helps squirrels. And not only does he help squirrels, the only reason why he knew how to help that squirrel was because he helps other animals. And he said, you know what? Maybe this will work on this animal. And I said, you know what? He's working on animals. Veterinarian. Okay. Philosophies. Names. That is wonderful. But if I'm a client, because what happens, and the reason why I'm trying to be so honest and help you, is because when people philosophize and they get off the show, they get mad at me. And in part of the 15-minute pre-show spiel, I talk about all the reasons why I don't want people to get mad at me. Because at the end of the day, this is about me. I want to give you a platform and not walk away and say, you know what? I didn't get any clients. I didn't get any calls. I didn't get any orders. Because people who come on this show, they get orders. They get clients. They get sales. Am I wrong, Allison?
No, you're not wrong. And that's why I like coming so much. It's exciting to be able to share a different 10 minute. And we've had lots of random conversations during the times that I've been on. But at the end, people tune in and go, gosh, that was an interesting show. When can you come over and organize my house? And so
right.
That's the most important thing. So again, I'm going to be honest and try to go back to what I need from you, Liam, on the roundtable talk show with Sharifa Hardy, which is me. What do you do, Liam?
Okay, so what I do is I take the idea that I did not invent and we'll call her like Lady Maven. Did we agree on that?
I like Lady Maven.
Allison.
Hey.
All right, Lady. We'll call her Lady Maven. Allison, that's your name. You don't have to share that. You can be known as Lady Maven, the organizational lady. So the idea that Lady Maven had, and the same idea I had, is people are stressed more than ever because we live in a world where stressors are all around us. You can't control the environment that you're in to 100%. You can control it to a certain degree, but you can't control that environment to a degree that would get you to trust that, okay, now everything is okay and I need to relax. Or I can relax because I need to relax. And I can do that because I took control of my environment. So in essence, what I do and what Lady Maven has been doing for longer than I have been, is basically just helping people organize their homes in a way to reduce stress. So intentionality in design is something very important. Having the anxiety that comes from the design process, the client, the deadline, the budget, the sourcing, it's a process that we have to respect. It's not something that we can ignore because it exists for a reason, trial and error. I'm not the first interior designer ever made. She's not the first person to ever help somebody organize their home. But people will seek someone who can help them feel differently. And the way we're trying to help, and we're going to make money in the process because we need to pay bills. I mean, I need to pay for the internet that I'm using to conduct this interview. That's a fact. If I tell the clients, hey, this is my margin, I invested this much, honestly, like if I honestly say I invested this much in that effort right there, and it took me that much time, I think that an appropriate compensation for my time should be this hourly rate. So I'm going to multiply that by the time it took me to just do the process. Trusting the process is a huge thing. So you trust the process. The next step is don't stop there. Don't just trust the process and then assume that the client is not going to trust the process as well. So the client will trust the process as much as you trust the process because they're copying what you're doing. So if you seem very stressed and anxious, they're going to be very stressed and anxious in return. And that will make it that much harder.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's what I tend to do.
I blab a lot.
I've been interviewing people since 2009. This is what I do. This is who I am. And I'm going to make a statement that I've never made ever in the history of ever. You need to talk to more people. Like I really feel like this might be a day job for you. you own it, you understand it, but the world needs to hear the world according to Liam. Like that should be like the show or the podcast. It's the world according to Liam. Because if I was a potential client, and again, I would never say this to anyone ever, because I always have to be positive and understand it's your dream and your business. But you have so many belief systems and philosophies that I think people need to hear. And I really feel that that's what you're more passionate about as opposed to interior design. Cause it's like, I'm literally pulling teeth to get you to talk about your business. And somehow, some way you start and then it's like a philosophy. And I'm like, I don't even think he realizes. Am I wrong? No, Dr. Shaddy, am I not Liam?
Dr. Shaddy. Dr. Shaddy, I think in all honesty, and that's my humble opinion, if you share the squirrel story, again, just the same thing, like not new information, but like she's saying, talking to more people. You shared it with 4 people before the show or 3 people before the show. I don't know who was present at the time it was shared, so I'm not going to speak to that.
It was the 4 of us.
The 4 of us. So all 4 of us know that story and we refer to it. I know at least one person that possibly can derive a lot of motivation from that story, because that person, she told me that it was a direct question. I asked an effective question trying to gain a little bit of insight into the mind of a young thinker. Like, she's somebody in a beautiful situation. She's been given the gift of time, and that drove her to hit the books. She just started reading, and talking to her, in all honesty, present company excluded, she knows a lot more than a lot of adults I've spoken to over the course of my life.
I want to allow Dr. Shaddy to respond.
Please. Sure. So like, I'll have 15 more seconds. She told me, I want to be a veterinarian when I grow up. You are a veterinarian. You're an image that she can look up to grow up.
There's a couple of, I have a few thoughts on that concept as a whole. I hear a lot from people of my 15 years, oh, when I was young, I wanted to be a veterinarian, but I didn't because, and almost always the reason is the same, because I couldn't imagine putting a pet to sleep, right? That's probably arguably the saddest thing that a veterinarian has to do in their career. I used to not have an answer for those people. And then over the years, through my experience, I thought, you know what? I have an answer now. You can't look at it as a sad event, because in theory, the vast majority of times that you're euthanizing an animal, you're alleviating suffering. You're doing a monumental favor, not only to that pet owner who's grieving, but to that pet who is suffering intractably. So in essence, it almost should be looked at somewhat as a blessing that a veterinarian is allowed to do that. On the flip side, if you look at the human side, how many times have you heard, oh, I wish we can put people to sleep. My grandfather is suffering. My grandmother is dying. Miserable life. They're in hospice. You hear it a lot. And so the MDs don't have that same sort of, I'll call it a luxury, I guess, to be able to do that, to provide people a peaceful transition to move on. So for those out there who are listening, and to Liam's point, if you're a young person thinking about being a veterinarian, or you're an adult looking for a second career of which you thought of being a veterinarian and you didn't because of that reason, I would say rethink it. Look at it that way. To the second point about the squirrel story, I have a pretty robust social media platform. I'm on Instagram, it's Dr. Shaddy Arafage, also Vet Triage on Instagram. I've got a YouTube channel, which is slowly growing organically over time. I have all of my videos and posts are educationally based. They're all meant to show you a different species and how we take care of it. Common dog and cat problems. Veterinary medicine as a whole. What do you do about contracts as a veterinarian? How do you handle medical issues? How do you handle lawsuits? How do you handle medical board complaints? What do you do with the COVID-19 when people started getting rid of their dogs and cats because they thought that because their dog or cat can get coronavirus, they're going to get it from their pet? And I have, so my channels are robust with this type of educational information that I also hope will help to alleviate people. You know, I want them to be exposed to this, because everybody sort of has this image of veterinarians as being just sort of putting bandages and on dogs and cats or giving vaccines, which is a part of it. But there's so much more. It's a human embodied field. There's a lot going on with the vet field. So I'm thankful for this type of discussion because we can transcend the normal information that everybody else knows about already. I want to go past that. Let's dive into the unknown for not only for my field, but also for Allison and Liam's field and Sharifa's field. What don't we know about it to educate the folks out there? So thank you for bringing that up. I love that.
Thank you. And honestly, I honestly want to say a very brief response to what you said. If Sharifa thinks we have time for like a 20-second intersection or
20 seconds, because Allison had a response. So give me 20 seconds.
All right. So 20 seconds. Honestly, I think that what you're speaking to, the fear of the unknown and diving more into that and trying to understand as many disciplines as possible, because that information is out there. And I greatly appreciate you as a doctor in your field having all of your posts be educationally based, because that shows that you actually do want to help. You're here to help, not only because you have to help yourself. You can't just help everybody else. And you can't assume that the client will assume that you're only helping yourself. If you let the client know, I'm helping you, but I also am helping myself in the form of getting paid. And this is how much I'm getting paid. Do you think that's fair compensation for this amount of work? If they think that it's not a fair compensation, I'm pretty sure that you can rationally explain to them, well, I went through veterinary school. It took me $250,000 of debt. And I'm making an assumption. I don't know how much it took you or how you got to where you are now. And share that with people. It's all like knowledge should be shared. I honestly think that
knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. And it's all about power.
Yes, that's what we're going for. Allison, you had a comment?
Oh, I just wanted to add to what Dr. Shadi said about how veterinarians are such a wide scope. A couple of years ago, my brother had a blonde pug, and there was just so much extra maintenance involved with having that kind of a breed. The dog had its own dermatologist because of all its skin issues, and the dog had its own eyes, nose, throat, ears doctor because of, again, so many issues with that sort of breed that my brother had no idea of. But the puppy looked cute in the window at the mall, and he dropped the $1,200 to buy the blonde pug versus a regular pug, and then just so much maintenance and care. It was just so much more involved than he thought of a quote typical dog, you know, that can sit outside and be a dog. The dog had so much maintenance and medication and doctors that it visited. It wasn't just the generic veterinarian that he saw, that the pug saw. And my kid's gonna kill me, but we named our kid after the pug.
No way. That's amazing. A beautiful story, though. That's so beautiful.
When she was born, she made the same kind of snorty baby sounds that the pug makes because it's a pug. And so I kept having to correct myself in the hospital after I gave birth to her and say, oh, you're such a cute beauty baby, Ava. And I go, wait, no, your name is Hope. And then I'm like, Ava. And so at some point I said, we got to change her name. We can't name her Hope if I keep calling her Ava. And then my then husband said, you mean after the dog? And I go, yeah, she makes all these little snorty sounds and everything. I feel like I'm looking at the dog, but it's my baby. And so he goes, oh, okay.
Wow. That is so cute. That is so adorable. And it's so interesting that it brings us back to one of the things that we discussed early on, is where do we get our names? Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Liam.
I feel put on the spot, man. Well, thank you for taking charge and moderating this last part of the conversation, because that's where it gets tricky. Everyone would like not everybody wants, but everybody would like to have the last word. So I'll try to keep mine very brief. I'm going to speak directly to one person, and I know that I'm going to give that one person the link to this show. So I know that that one person will have the option to see this. And I have to change the name because she's a minor, so we'll just call her Rachel. If you decide to watch this, the one thing I took away from today's talk is that very last piece of the conversation, that beautiful story about that dog, combined with everything that Dr. Shadi has graciously shared, because he trusted that everybody here is willing to help and wanting to help themselves and help the world. I will go educate myself on animals because they were here way before we were. So there is that. And it's all about pattern recognition. When you shared that beautiful story, it literally gave me goosebumps. And I'm trying to be more aware of my body. And I know that goosebumps, that's an emotional reaction that I'm having. And my body, I believe, I don't know, is translating that into a physiological manifestation of it, because it's the unknown. It's fear of the unknown. I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew that that puppy was hurting and I have emotions. So I felt bad. Dr. Shadi probably was thinking about this very differently. He's like, okay, that dog probably had cataracts. He had this. He should have been given this 3 times a day and that dog would have been okay. And if it came down to the point of there is nothing else to do for that dog, the humane thing, or what I understood that Dr. Shadi communicated, is that making the humane decision of letting it go is the hardest.
It's humane. What is your message to Rachel? We got a couple of seconds left on the show, Liam. What is your message you want to give to the minor?
You can be a veterinarian if that is what you decide that you want to be. Because to be a veterinarian, you don't need to face an unknown. Veterinary medicine is a field that already exists. You don't have to discover something new. You can build on the knowledge of everybody that came before you. That's something you can take control of. You can't control
absolutely
what happened to you in your life. You can't control how people treated you in your life.
Absolutely. So we got a couple of minutes. I want to thank you for being a guest today, Liam. Allison, what do you have for us?
I'm here to help anyone that needs help with their organizing of Southern California. So that's Los Angeles, Orange County, Inland Empire. I will go down to San Diego for certain situations. The best way to get in contact with me is to go to my website. It's my name. So it's Allison, almond.com. Or you can just simply Google the organization Maven and you'll find all my social platforms on how to get in touch with me. Thank you, Ms. Sharifa, for having me again today.
You are welcome. I love having you here. Thank you, Allison. Dr. Shadi, what do you have for us?
Thank you so much for having me on as well. Vet Triage, VETTRIAGE. We're a leading force in what veterinary telemedicine should be. If you're a practice owner, we can help you with after hours answering service so your clients aren't forced to either wait for the next day or forced to use Dr. Google or forced to go to an expensive emergency visit. We can help giving veterinary advice with video 24/7 with United States based licensed veterinarians. If you're a pet owner, vettriage.com, 24/7 advice, $50 a session. Doesn't matter how long it takes. Doesn't matter what species. Doesn't matter what time. We are a leading force. We're spearheading a movement with veterinary telemedicine. Sharifa, thank you so much. Liam, Allison, you guys are incredible. Thank you. I would love to be on again in the future. If you ever need someone to fill in last minute, Sharifa, I am all yours. This is fantastic.
Thank you. You are so welcome. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. It was interesting. It was fun. It was definitely unique. I want to thank Jade Elizabeth for tuning in. Jade says, the conversation is so different today. It makes me smile. So thank you for tuning in, Jay. We definitely appreciate your support. Now, if you want more information on how I can help you and your business, or maybe you want to get your tickets to my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference, which is December 29th and 30th, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at the same time, 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.